This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. It's a bye week, but don't tell LSU that as recruiting continues to heat up. Sonny Shimp is alongside me. My name is Bryce Kuhn. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're watching or listening, we appreciate your support. Sonny, it's a bye week, but man, LSU over the past, dare we say, 10 to 12 days has just been on fire. We mentioned it kind of started last week with that CJ Jackson, but man, over the past 7 or 8 days, this staff has really, really gotten down to business and done a lot of work that I think we could say that maybe a lot of people didn't know was coming. We're going to talk about a lot of those names today. So let's start off with one of the first ones. We mentioned CJ Jackson, that edge. We talked about that one in the last podcast. But PJ Woodland and Bernard Causey, two commits that were one, and PJ Woodland to Mississippi State and Bernard Causey to Ole Miss. It helps out this secondary, and I think that the LSU staff's just trying to continue to build depth as they grow this room.
Yeah, and you had to replace Andre Evans, who flipped to Georgia last week. And like you mentioned, man, the last 12 days, 2 decommitments, 4 commitments, and it's not over yet. these last two months to go down the stretch until the early signing period. It's always eventful, and it's certainly been eventful here lately. But you had to shore up the cornerback position. PJ mm-hmm. Woodland, Bernard Causey, while neither one of them has that sexy appeal that Andre Evans carried as the number 10 cornerback in the country, both of them are good gets. Both of them, I really like the PJ Woodland. This is no knock on Bernard Causey, but I really like PJ Woodland in the fact that he gives you some versatility. He reminds me a lot of Jay Ward. They had around the same measurables when Jay Ward came out. And I see him being able to play corner, being able to play safety, being able to play nickel. Basically, wherever you need him, he's versatile enough and he's athletic enough to where you can plug him in the secondary. And in this day and age where the transfer portal, between the transfer portal, injuries, kids just acting stupid and getting suspended, you run into situations to where you find yourself like LSU is right now. Basically, okay, who can we move to cornerback? Hey, Javon Taviano, that's a guy who's now who's getting some reps at cornerback. And so when you have a guy like that who you can play anywhere in the secondary, I just think it's huge. I think it's huge. It's an added benefit. And I really like that. Bernard Causey, the LSU fans have been saying, where is that lockdown corner? Where's that corner we can put out on the island who has the, who has the attitude, who is, you say cocky, but in a good way, mm-hmm. who's confident enough to get out there and just mix it up and who's going to be in your face. And that's Bernard Causey. And, I think he's an 86 rating. I'm anxious to see how the senior film comes out and whether or not he gets a little bump. But I think you have to like that aggressiveness and that mindset that he brings to the position. And, then you move on from there. You've got last night on Thursday night, the late night flip of Weston Davis from Texas A&M and look, LSU fans and Texas A&M fans, they hate each other, man. Anytime they can stick it in each other's side, they're all about that. So the simple fact that it was an A&M flip, only sweeten the pot for LSU fans. But, you know, you get an athletic offensive tackle that really just solidifies now what I think solidifies, if you hold on to all these five of these pieces, a very, very, very nice offensive line group for Brad Davis.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. Brad Davis, I know you mentioned, and folks can check this out over at Go247. You dropped a big piece here on Friday morning, right before we recorded this podcast, just about, you know, all the work that's been going in. And Sonny, if I'm correct, this feels like something that's kind of behind the scenes. I mean, this was something that not a lot of people knew. The conversations were still happening, but maybe how in depth they were between Davis and Davis in this sense. I mean, just kind of talk about that. What does this mean, you think, for, I mean, you start to kind of look at what Brad Davis has pulled in over the past couple of years. You go back 2 years ago in the recruiting class with your two tackles that you have starting now. Then you obviously have Zalance Hurd last year. And now it's just something where, you know, LSU is starting to build, and with Brad Davis, quite the rapport, it feels like, with some of the top offensive linemen.
Yeah, that's been a sore subject amongst the LSU community. You know, prior to Brian Kelly getting here, and really prior to you know, you Will Campbell, Emory Jones, and that class has been the offensive line. And, you know, now you see them really kind of stockpiling on it a little bit. You know, Weston committed in June – or July, I'm sorry, visited LSU in June, committed in July. And it kind of caught people off guard. Steve Wiltfong had a crystal ball in on LSU. I thought it was going to be LSU. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, just I believe it was a Sunday, if I'm not mistaken – go pops to A&M and like, whoa, what just happened here? You know, that wasn't something we were expecting. But Brad Davis never backed off. You know, he never backed off. You're talking about a guy who is who's in Beaumont. So when you start talking about College Station relative to, you know, College Station to Beaumont relative to Baton Rouge to Beaumont, you're not looking at much difference at all. You know, Beaumont, yeah, you know, you're right there basically on the Louisiana border. So a lot of, you know, LSU's had some success in those areas in the past. And so to be able to go and to get that East Texas guy like that at a position of need, you know, you could arguably say LSU really didn't have to have another offensive lineman in this class. I'm a huge proponent of, look, you need five in each class, you know, yeah. And obviously that's tough to do. But, you know, to be able to complete that flip of something like you mentioned, behind the scenes, not a lot of talk going on about it. We'd mentioned it. Yeah, they were still in contact and stuff. And then I think it was Tuesday night when a source said, hey, man, things are really heating up with Weston Davis, you know, keep it on the down low. But and then all of a sudden, bam.
Yeah.
So pops off big Thursday pickup. Night. Big pickup. Yeah.
It was kind of crazy. I was at the women's basketball scrimmage last night, and you could see the media there. Everyone, their phone ding up right around the time that you guys had shot the text off to me about this flip's coming. So, man, that's huge. That obviously a big one. Like you said, I'm a big proponent of, you know, there's in every sport, there's certain stuff. You know, I'm a baseball guy, so I'm one of those things. You can never have enough arms. I think in football, you can never have enough offensive linemen, you know, guys that can be able to be interchangeable pieces. And you get a guy like, you didn't need it, but a guy like Weston Davis, who has that kind of, you know, high potential, is not a bad one to say. It's just kind of a cherry on top. Davis is definitely not a bad get there. But Sonny, one of the big things, man, is it doesn't really stop here. You mentioned, I mean, we're closing in on signing day. It's going to be a race here, as you know, a lot of teams, you know, that LSU is going to be in battle with are going to have some questions, I think, going in. You know, how does Texas A&M finish out the rest of their season? Are there staff changes, not necessarily Jimbo, but staff changes in general that could determine some of these battles? Your thoughts, though, on a couple more guys. I mean, look, I know you, in that piece you said you feel like you're beating a dead horse here. We're talking about the battles between the Aggies and the Tigers here. But there's a couple other names I know you're looking at that say, hey, look, you know, LSU's still in that mix, and a guy that recently decommitted also, too, and Draylon Miller.
Yeah, Miller goes to Colorado this weekend, and then he has LSU the weekend after that, followed by Colorado. So he'll be in town for the Florida game. And, you know, that'll be a second game. His second game this season. And then he also came in June and spent a weekend in Baton Rouge on an unofficial visit when they had a bunch of official visitors in town. So he's certainly gotten the treatment, certainly seen everything. But getting him in for that Florida game, especially sandwiched in the Colorado and the USC visits, I think will be big. And, you know, everything continues to point LSU's way with him. And I think that they're really in, I just think that they're in a good situation with him. I also think that they're relatively in a good situation with Terry Bussey. And I say relatively just because he's still committed to Texas A&M. You know, there's been some rumblings that he was going to drop that pledge for, I guess, going on about a week now, you know, a week, 10 days. It's kind of like people are on the clock waiting, you know, when does it happen? When does it happen? Kind of makes you feel, you know, like, you know, depends on who you believe and who you listen to. You know, Texas A&M has just made, you know, has sweetened the pot, I guess, so to speak, as far as the NIL opportunities, you know, the message board talk and stuff. But, you know, I think that that's definitely going to be one to really monitor down the stretch. And I think a big, I'd mentioned this with Gabe Relliford, but I think it's going to be interesting to see. Okay, November 11th, LSU and Texas A&M have not really had to compete for prospects to visit. November 11th is going to present that opportunity, but because Texas A&M is going to host Mississippi State and then LSU is going to host Florida. And so those commits who are on the fence, if they're still committed to Texas A&M, where do they show up that weekend? You know, Terry Bussey's one, Gabe Relliford's one, Ty Anthony Smith, the linebacker, who's really good friends with Miller and Davis. You know, so there's certainly no shortage of storylines between LSU and Texas A&M. And look, you know, A&M had, A&M beat LSU for the five-star Dominic McKinley. So A&M is, you know, A&M, you know, when you go and you look, you had, they got McKinley, they got Miller, they got Bussey. It's like they were just laying it to LSU. All of a sudden now it kind of looks like the script is flipped.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it's been something, obviously, something to keep an eye on. You mentioned as well, you know, with Texas A&M try to strengthen their position and try to go after Jelani Watkins if, you know, Draylon Miller does indeed make that decision to go to LSU. Wanted to get this from you here, too, though, because there's a kind of – I don't want to say tier two necessarily behind Gabriel Relliford, but there are some guys, JUCO guys. Got a chance to talk with Jaden Hamlin, you know, guys like Sean Washington, all these different guys that – where do you feel like LSU sits that? Is Gabriel Relliford kind of that option A, and then there's options, you know, B1, B2, B3? What is kind of the look? Do they really need to add someone up on that front seven?
Well, I think you could, you know, I think you could really make a strong case that, you know, they could use two interior, you know, two more guys. Mm-hmm. And so given that sense, I could see Brian Kelly – you know, let's say they do get Gabe Relliford. I could see them faced with a situation of, okay, how do we feel about our depth inside? Right? Do we need to go out and do we need to go find a defensive tackle out of the transfer portal, or do we feel good? Do we feel like we're in a spot to where we can go out and get a guy like a Sean Washington, a Jaden Hamlin, some, you know, guys who are a little bit older, you know, a little, maybe, a, you know, a little older, a little bigger, a little stronger, to where they can come in and maybe not need as much time and as much development in the weight room. I think that's going to be something that, you know, that they're just going to have to look at and they're going to have to kind of evaluate once they get a better picture of, you know, where a guy like Gabe Relliford stands. You know, you also got Missouri commit, Jalen Brown. He was a guy who was in town for the Auburn game, you know, so he's someone still in play. Elias Williams, another Missouri commit out of Florida. You know, he's someone else that, you know, that they're still talking to as well. So, and then on top of all that, you have, oh, okay, so you don't really, you know, how's the defensive line coach really factoring into these decisions, you know, given Jimmy Lindsay's situation, is this all Brian Kelly? without a lot of input from the D-line coach. So there's a lot of dynamics in play, and there's certainly been a lot of dynamics in play with defensive line recruiting since Jimmy Lindsay went down in late July.
Yeah, obviously in that article you need to check out if you haven't already and get your Go 24/7 subscription. Coaches are on the road. Robert Steeples heading down to see Kai Bates. But one thing we were able to talk about last night and into today and wanted to get your thoughts here as we round out this podcast was kind of the quarterback situation. Man, that 2025 class, I mean, it's kind of 1A, 1B with guys like Underwood and George McIntyre. Joe Sloan in Nashville last night to see George McIntyre, going to be able to make the trip up to see Bryce Underwood. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the continued recruitment of these guys. And ask you this too. We all know that Bryce Underwood has that kind of January decision date that he's kind of looking at. Does George McIntyre have one? And, how quickly, if LSU were to lose out on Underwood, is it pull all the resources and go for McIntyre? What does this kind of look like to you?
Well, I think, if Underwood would go to Michigan, I think you would just have to put, you would assume that LSU would go all in more than they already are for George McIntyre. Yeah. Because, Joe Sloan has, he's made both of them a priority. Like you said, he saw McIntyre Thursday night, going to see Underwood Friday night. Mike Denbrock went and saw LSU commit Colin Hurley on Thursday. And so, they're making their rounds on all the quarterbacks. But after Underwood and McIntyre, there's really only one more 2025 quarterback that they've offered. He's a kid out of the Midwest who's committed to Ohio State. And so, Sloan has made it, he hasn't even gone out and tossed out any offers just to kind of get guys interested, basically saying, telling these two, look, you're my guys. You're mm-hmm. the guys. You're the focus. You're the priorities. And so, what happens with McIntyre, I know he's visiting UCLA this weekend. I'm not sure about Underwood as far as hitting the road or not. But, like I mentioned in the piece, Underwood, I mentioned this on the podcast before, I've always felt with Underwood that just proximity to Ann Arbor, man, 25 miles away or 20 miles away, whatever it is, it's just so close, man. That's just going to be so hard to overcome, Now with all this talk about all the sign-stealing allegations and all this fiasco with Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh certainly never been short of drama in his time at Michigan, but man, it just seems like the NCAA now, it's just, and not to say that it's not warranted, because one, cheating, all of them do it, but if you're going to be that stupid about it, you deserve to get caught, man. And if anyone's that stupid to think that, Harbaugh didn't have any notion this was going on, let's have another podcast and let's talk about that.
Exactly.
Yeah. How does all that impact Underwood and his camp, because they're very thorough, they're very detail oriented. Yeah. And I can promise you that when they've looked at, that in their conversations, they look at it, they say, okay, well, how long do we think this is going to be? That they're having conversation. Okay, well, what if Harbaugh would leave? What if the NFL comes calling? Yeah. What if this turns into an NCAA infractions case or whatever, And so it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and whether or not those negative storylines just keep popping up over the Michigan program. With McIntyre, most people seem to think that Alabama is the team to beat. It would surprise me if McIntyre chose Bama just because, you've got Julian Sayin coming in. Yeah. You've got Jalen Milrow, who is – what is Milrow? Milrow's a sophomore this year, right?
He might be a junior by academically, but sophomore playing-wise. Yeah,
eligibility-wise. And so, if you've got a quarterback with some experience, whether or not you think Milrow's good or not, he would still be a returning starting quarterback. You got Julian Sayin. And now, you're following that up with a guy like McIntyre. It would just surprise me a little bit, just given all the quarterbacks that Bama has signed in the past, And so that kind of – I always circle back to Tennessee and Josh Heupel and, how bad not how bad they, you know, they need a quarterback because they've got Nico and, man, you want to try to pronounce his last name?
I'm good. I'll reserve
that. Iamaliva. I know that's how it spells.
Yeah, that kid's got some good potential, though.
But he's got a lot of potential, but he hasn't been able to break through this year. Yeah. And Tennessee certainly is not a very stable situation as far as quarterback goes if you've watched Joe Milton in one game, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, does that look like a better situation than what he could walk into at Alabama? Now, when you look at LSU, you got Ricky Collins, you got Colin Hurley. You don't have those stars by their name that just, you know, that grab your attention, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, that five-star. People see a five-star, their eyes just gravitate towards it. And so does that look like a less congested path to the field? Maybe it does, but, you know, I don't really know that that's going to be as big of a factor, you know, as it could be. So I'm really kind of torn on McIntyre as far as, you know, as far as where Alabama stands and if they are truly, in fact, that big leader like they are right now. And for me, Tennessee, I just keep circling back to Tennessee, you know, I keep circling back to Tennessee and how attractive that has to look. You know, thinking about what Hendon Hooker was able to do in an offense like that. Granted, two different types of quarterbacks, but you know, so I'm really anxious to see how this comes out of you know, Joe Sloan and the limited contact that he can have with McIntyre on this trip, and just see if anything new comes out of it as far as a timeline. Because right now he hasn't really mentioned a timeline at all.
Yeah, and it feels like, you know, if Underwood is that first domino to fall, you're going to see a lot of programs really start to set their sights on a guy like McIntyre. Maybe that's the plan. Maybe he said, hey, let's let Underwood decide where he's going, and then now, you know, we become the hot commodity on the market. It's free agency, Sonny. I mean, that's what this thing is.
And then you just hope, and you hope McIntyre doesn't say, you know what, I think I want to make that December decision.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly.
Mardi Gras is better. Mardi Gras decision sounds better.
That sounds better for LSU fans. You mentioned Tennessee, kid that I've got to see a lot of, Jake Merklinger out of Savannah, Georgia. He's another one that's committed in that 2024 class for them, so he's going to be on campus. So, look, it's you look at it two different ways. Some guys say, I want the path of least resistance, and others say, hey, I welcome the competition. Let's go play. And, you know, I'm sure that Joe Sloan's getting a feel for it, but like you said, you don't want a negative recruit against your own roster, but, Sonny, you have to figure, as we round it out right here, you got to figure that Sloan and them are talking about this, saying, hey, look, you know, you go here, this is what's happening. That's what their roster looks like. You go here, this is what that roster looks like. Rosters can look very different in the span of what they're talking about. But, man, you know, I keep telling people this, you know, with a guy like Nussmeier, he is a bona fide candidate to be a one-and-done guy next year. I mean, he could have that path, you know, and I kind of think he will. So, it could be where 2025, hey, man, you could come in and start, you know, as a true freshman if you come and you know, have that opportunity. So it'll be very interesting to keep an eye on as recruiting heats up. But, man, it's been quite a whirlwind of a week, and we're going to have a lot of fun covering this up until that December 20th signing day. For Sonny Shipp, my name is Bryce Kuhn. Thanks so much for tuning into this LSU Go 24/7 Recruiting Podcast. Make sure to give us a like, subscribe to the channel, and set up those notifications for you when you want to know when we release the latest content. We'll catch you next time here on the Go 24/7.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.